Hey, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is the 10th of Elul, Tav Shin Pei Beis, September 6th, 2022. And we would like to wish refuah shleima to my esteemed father-in-law, Moshe Baruch ben Rivka Rachorina, and for Moshe Pinchas ben Sara, and all the Yeshuas of Kal Yisrael, and also Ilui Nishmas Shmuel Herschel ben Shammai Shammai, Zichron Livracha. So once in a while, it's worthwhile to just stop and take stock of what we're doing and why we're doing it. So I just want to go over a very rudimentary fact. Why are we having this shiur? I'm working on the mitzvah of bitachon. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed says, Barasa Yetzahara. Hashem says, I created the Yetzahara. The Yetzahara is good. Hashem created only good things. The Gemara of Abbasra says, the Yetzahara is the same as the Malach HaMavis, is the same as the Satan tempts us to do things that we shouldn't do. Our job is to not listen to him. His job is to tempt us to do things that we don't listen to. And that makes us grow. And then part of his job description is to accuse us in front of Hashem. And then eventually mortality is in the world after Adam and Chava did the chait. So he takes the neshama of the person. The Yetzer is created by Hashem. The Yetzer is good. It's the means for our growth. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed says, I created the Yetzer, but I created Barasilo Torah Tavlin. But the antidote, the cure for the Yetzahara, is Torah. That's the only cure for the Yetzahara. The only way we can make it through and grow from it is through Torah. The Bali Musar took it to the next level and said, we have something called the Torah for that Mida, and for each Mida has its Torah. Because the other Gemara says, Bini impaga bach menuval zeh. If this Yetzahara, who tries to divert you from the Ratzon Hashem, has encountered you, Mashchehu the Beis HaMedrash. Pull him to the Beis HaMedrash. The Bali Musar said, what do you mean, pull him to the Beis Medrash and learn Torah to try to cure yourself from the malady of the Yetzahara? The Beis HaMedrash shall also davar. It's the place of Torah study, the Beis HaMedrash. It's the part of Torah of that type of midah, that weakness or that challenge that we are facing. There is Torah about every mitzvah that we can learn. That's how we cure ourselves. So yes, in general, the Torah cures us from the Yetzahara. It helps us navigate all the intricacies of Avodas Hashem to make it through the labyrinth of all the challenges and difficulties that face us. But then there are the areas of Torah, like learning about Bitachon, where we can zero in. It's specializing in areas of Torah that we can go and focus on those areas. And that's the way that we can address specific mitos that we want to address. And it's that purpose that I have in this VOD. It's really a workshop and a VOD for myself. Thank you for listening along as I do it. I'm working on the mito of bitachon. And this is Mashcheu Rebeis HaMedrash Sha'oso Davar. That part of Torah that has to do with bitachon. And there's so much there. When I first moved to Cincinnati, there was a great person, Rabbi Kibbel, Zichron Livracha, Rabbi Nechemia Kibbel, and I told him a story that I was driving on LeSantoville Avenue. If you live in Cincinnati, you know about LeSantoville. LeSantoville goes to Reading, and I wasn't used to the roads or the ropes or anything around here, and I didn't realize it was a little bit icy, so I was on LeSantoville Avenue going down toward Reading, and I put the brake on in order to slow down for the intersection, and I noticed something very surprising, that my car kept going. Did you ever put on the brake and the vehicle keeps going? And when I turned to make sure that I would avoid traffic, the steering wheel didn't really turn. And I said to myself, this is called skidding. And I, Baruch Hashem, came out of that fine because it was a bit of a skid and the vehicle was just going by itself and it wouldn't respond to a brake pedal nor a steering wheel. Hopefully it doesn't happen to you, but it happens occasionally in the winter. When I told this story to Rabbi Kibbel, Zichron Livracha, I said, you know, I skidded down the Santoval a little bit. He said, so what were you thinking? What did you do while you were skidding? So I said, well, once I pressed the brake and turned the steering wheel and nothing happened, I realized that I was helpless. It was out of my hands. So I decided to just enjoy the ride and see how the scenery was. And Baruch Hashem hoped for the best, and it came out okay. I was half joking, because it wasn't that relaxing a ride. Anyway, Rabbi Kibbel said to me, he said, ah, that is the key to stress management. Whatever is in my hands to deal with And to manage, that's what I can do. And I can do my best. But without in my hands, we say every day in Shemona Esrei, Achayenu Hamsirim Biyodecha, our lives are handed over in your hands, Hashem. Nishmasein Kudos Lo. Our souls are entrusted with you, Hashem. We are helpless to a degree. Some things we can do. We have Bechira. But some things we can't do. They're out of our hands. So he said, we have to be able to differentiate, compartmentalize. These issues are not in my hands. I cannot deal with them. I will therefore not stress over them. I will not agonize. There are some things in my life that happen that I cannot control. And when I sit down and I relax and I ride the skid, so to say, and say, Ribon Shalom, I'm in your hands now. That's the way to manage stress. We know that in life, there is a lot at times, and we're today probably finishing up our focus attention on Yaakov Avinu, and we talked about Eov last time, when we talk about what seems to be clusters, chas v'shalom, of tzaros, of hardships. Sometimes it's illness, chas v'shalom, it's relationships, and it's parnasa. Those three categories of tzaros, the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim mention them as Eov's challenges, having to do with livelihood, financial matters, having to do with illness, chas v'shalom, and having to do with children and other relationships that we have. The most daunting task is to make it through all that. But so much of it is not in our hands. If it's not in our hands, let's put it in Hashem's hands. Leave it there, and then we have the decision. We have the ownership of how we're going to react and deal with that. The Mesillas Yesharim tells us, how many people are there who don't have any challenges in life? What's the statistic? The famous piece of Mesillas Yesharim. He says, there's no way in the world anybody could ever believe that we're born for this world and that this is the final destination. It has to be a stopover. Nobody with seichel could believe that this is our ending point. Because what's the quality of life? What really is it? Quality and quantity. Who's a person who's sameach v'shalev mamash b'olam hazeh? It's a rhetorical question, and it makes me feel better. If I ever say to myself, I can't seem to have a total tranquility and rest. Well, guess what? I'm not alone. Monsieur Zisharm says, you don't find people like that, really. We live for, hopefully, many, many decades. 120, Mir Hashem, it should be a very meaningful life we have. But there is a lot of aggravation. Mesillas Yesharim says, what's the statistic of how many people live a fully tranquil and peaceful life? Echad mini elef lo yimotze. Not even one in 1,000 will we find sheyar beha'olam lo hanos v'shava mitzis. That the person will have a pleasurable, tranquil, peaceful, enjoyable life. Because that's not why we're here. We aren't put here to enjoy ourselves. As the Mesillas Yesharim says in another place, that a person is here, it's for malacha, lo lemanucha hu ba'olam hazeh. We're not here to rest. Yes, we have to rest in order to reinvigorate ourselves, and we have to refresh ourselves, we have to have types of recreation and relaxation. All that is in order that we can keep moving afterward and serving Hashem. But that's not the purpose, that's the means to the end. So the Mesillas Yesharim says, don't think we're alone. Not even 1 in 1,000 will be totally tranquil in this world. Now when I see that sounds morbid, it sounds gloomy. No, it's not morbid and gloomy, it's comforting, and it actually makes me very happy to hear that, because that means I'm not alone, and I don't take it personally, and I can take it from there. I can take ownership of how I deal with it. And we say this every week in different words. So we have ownership of our reactions. Hashem knows that we have this ownership, and this is our choice. We can take the quality of life, and we can elevate our quality of life. We have bitachon in Hashem. We have simcha. We can move ourselves to do it. Just like we make ourselves, it's not easy to wake up in the morning, but we wake up. It's not easy to concentrate on davening. We work on that. It's not easy to be in an upbeat mood, but we have ownership of it. And let's make life the best quality that it can be. And I said, we're going to focus on Yaakov Avinu a little bit. Yaakov Avinu seems to have one tzara after another. Where's the first place we see it? One of the first places where he expresses it. Parshas Miketz. What does he tell his sons? There's this mysterious personality, strange character, it seems, who's the viceroy of Egypt. He's giving you guys a hard time, and I'm not going to let you guys go back to get food. Finally, they have to go back because they're running out of food. And they say, Abba, he told us we can't come back without Binyamin. So Yaakov finally relents, and Yehuda takes responsibility, and Yaakov says, Kael Shakai, Hashem, who's the Shakai, Yitein Lachem Rachmim Lefnei Oyish. He should give you mercy in front of that man. B'shilach Lachem, he should send back to you, Esachichem Acher, your other brother. Who's the other brother? Shimon, who was taken captive, Ves Binyamin, and Binyamin, whom I'm forced to send right now. Now look at the names he uses about Hashem. Kael. Where's Kael in the Torah? Where do we see Kael? What's the meter of Kael? In Parshas Kisisa. Hashem, Hashem, Kael, Rachum Mechanun. The only place in the Torah that all Yidgum Amidos Rachamim, Hashem's merciful traits are stated. Hashem taught Moshe this by Sinai. And there it says Kael. It's the Almighty God of mercy and compassion. That's the name Kael. So Yaakov tells his sons, Kael, who's almighty with mercy, Shakai. What's the name Shakai? Rashi brings the Medrash. What is Shakai? Shaddai. Mi sha'amar la'olam dai. The one who said to the world, it's enough. The one who placed limitations in the world and borders and coastlines. The one who said that when he created the world, yomar dai l'tzarosai. He should say, it's enough for my hardships. He says to the sons, kids, I've had enough already. It's been enough already. Hashem, it should be enough. There shouldn't be any more. Now I have to send Binyamin too. Lo shakatati minu urai. I have never rested from the time I was young. Tzaras, let's see if we can name all the people. Laban was after me. Tzaras Esav was after me. Tzaras Rachel. Rachel died in childbirth. Tzaras Dina. Dina was taken. Tzaras Yosef. Yosef is now taken. Tzaras Shimon. Shimon is now being taken. He hasn't come back. Tzaras Binyamin. I have to send Binyamin now. If you want to see it elaborated upon, we look in the Das Kenem Bali Tosfos. He says it started earlier than this. And we actually did this in Chumash class today in Atara High School. When did Yaakov's Tzaras begin? Tosfos says, Kama Yisurin Bo Al Yaakov. How many hardships came upon him? When was his first hardship? When was the first challenge of Yaakov Avinu? Before he was born. Imagine that. Imagine coming into this world with already baggage. Achu Bimei Imo. He's still inside of Rivka. Esav Asa Meriva Imo. Imagine that. He already had a hardship. Now Hashem knows the reasons for all these things. Yaakov Avinu is able to handle it, but he already had some. It says they were quarreling, they were fighting about the inheritance of both worlds. This is when he's a fetus. He's inside his mother. He already has a hard time. He came out. Esav wanted to kill him. He fled from Esav. Where did he go? From one line then to another, to Laban. Laban gave all kinds of tzaras for him. When he left, he thinks he's finished with Laban, isn't he? No, he's not finished. Yotzim Eves Laban, Tosfos says, Rodaf la'achrav Laban. Laban chased him. That wasn't even enough. He was saved from Laban. Esav came again to kill him. And then he suffered a big monetary loss. He had to give the whole present to him. Talk about money tzaros here. Hifsid kol oso doron. He lost the whole present. Why are we saying all this? Because what we're going to see at the end is that Hashem expects him not to complain, but to be upbeat and happy about it. Because we grow from all these sorrows. Remember we talked about many times, do we make it through life despite the tzaros? No, it says, smeich and be assumed. We make it through life because of them. They're what makes us grow. He was saved from Esav. What was next? Dina. Dina was kidnapped. And then Rachel died. And then what happened? Bikesh leishev b'shalva. The person says, I want to relax. Hashem, I want to relax already. Make my life tzara free. Vayeshev Yaakov, Parshas Vayeshev. It's a lashon of yeshiva, not a lashon of gerus, not a lashon of dira, any other lashonis of living. It's a lashon of yeshiva. He wanted bikesh leishev b'shalva. No, no. It says it's enough for tzaddikim. They should expect olam haba should be tranquil. They can't expect olam hazeh. Then what happened next? Yosef. The tzara with Yosef. And then Shimon. And then Binyamin. And this was similar to what happened with Eov. And we talked about last time. At the end of it, strange meeting with Paro, Parshas Vayigash. What happens in Parshas Vayigash? Okay, he walks in. Now, I don't know about you. When you have a guest in your house, someone walks in, first question you ask them, they look rather elderly. Oh, nice to meet you. How old are you? So that's what Paro says to him. Kama yimei shnei chayecha. How old are you? He says to Yaakov. So the Mefarshim are baffled by this question. And they explain why. He saw that he was very old. And his hairs were white. So Tosfos answers, explains his answer. He said, no, Shnei, Yemei Shnei Megurai, the days of the years of my life and my dwellings, is really Shloshim Ramashan. I'm only 130 years old. Ma'at v'ra'im. They're relatively small, but they've been bad. Now look at that word. Ma'at v'ra'im. I haven't been here that long, and it's been a rough life. Meaning, I am not that old, really, compared to my father's, especially Yitzchak lived to 180. Yeah, and Avram to 175. But because I had a hard time, the old age jumped upon me. That's why I look so old. So what does the Medrash tell us? Now, we did talk about this before. We did not read it inside. As I said, we're engaged in a focused study on Yaakov, on how we look at our tzaros, we look at our challenges, and we say, my life is not bad. My life is good. My life is beautiful. Because what does the Medrash say? When Yaakov said, ma'at v'ra'im hayu, I didn't live very long, and my life was difficult. Ribbon Shalom said to him, there are two ways to look at every tzara. You could look at the tzara, and then you can look at how you are afterward. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What, you complained about Esav? You complained about Lavan? Ani malatiticha me'esav mi Lavan. I saved you from Esav and from Lavan. Don't think about the tzara from Esav and Lavan. Look at it now. You're still here. You're saved. I said to myself, why, Chas v'Shalom, do people sometimes become ill? Let's say hypothetically, a person, Chas v'Shalom, got a detached retina. That person never, ever, maybe even thought about his retina. Maybe the person never appreciated his retina. And now he says, my retina is attached. I can see, Baruch Hashem. The Ribbon Shalom has imparted his wisdom to doctors. It's all from Hashem. These are the messengers of Hashem. And they put me back together. I am so besimcha. I'm the happiest person in the world. I wasn't even as happy before. So the Ribbono Shalom says to him, you're complaining that you went through a hard time with Esav and Lavan? Look at you now. You're saved. You're on the top of the world. Dina? Now, Dina, you might say, come on, what am I going to say about Dina? She was kidnapped by Shechem. She has a child from Shechem. She's forced. Who's the child? That's right, Osnas. Doesn't Chazal say Osnas? What happened to Osnas? Says Mesechah Sofrim. What happened to Osnas? She's brought down to Mitzrayim. Whom does she marry? She marries Yosef. Osnas marries Yosef. Who are the children of Yosef and Osnas? Ephraim and Manasseh. How does Osnas end up with Yosef? Kind of peculiar, isn't it? No, because it says in Chazal that Potiphar, Anasius Potiphar, were childless. And they took her in. They fostered her. She was an Akara, it says, Ashes Potiphar. And she's living, growing up, this young girl, Osnas, she's growing up in the same compound, palace, whatever it is, that Yosef is, and they end up getting married. And they have Ephraim and Manasseh. That's Ephraim and Manasseh. So what are you doing? You're complaining about Tzaras Dina? But look at the end of it. Yosef, you had a reunion par excellence with him, and he became the viceroy. He became the sustainer of the whole world. I said to myself, I was sick, Chas v'Shalom. I'm better. Oh, I have other stuff coming up, Chas v'Shalom? That'll also be okay, Mirat Hashem. Why do I have to go through all this, Yaakov says. Why do I have to go through this? We can't fault Yaakov. It's at his high level, and we can't describe or fathom what he went through. Why is the Torah here for us to learn? Now, our level, we're supposed to learn something from it. So what do I take out of this? What I take out of it is that Hashem has a purpose in all this. It's not in my control. I'm riding the skid. Some things I can't control. So what am I supposed to do about it? Not supposed to be wretched about it. Not supposed to be exasperated and frustrated or negative or cynical. I'm supposed to be joyous about it. Atah Misrayim Achayecha, Hashem says to Yaakov, the Chazal say, you're complaining about your life? Shem Ma'at V'ra'im? You had a hard life. It wasn't so long. Really? Chayecha Sheminyan Hatevos. I swear on your life, Hashem says to him. The number of the words from when Paro asked you how old you are, from that word until the end of what you said about how your life was so difficult. So you know what I'm about to say, Chazal say. Kach yechsru mishnosecha. That number of words will be missing from your years. You were supposed to, all three of us were supposed to live to 180. All three of them. Avram died at 175, everybody knows, so he doesn't see his grandchildren, his grandchild, Esav, going off the derech.
Yitzchak Avinu lives to 180, in fact. Yaakov is supposed to live to 180. He dies at 147. You will only live to 147. Tosfos says, the Das Dekanan Heimlamet Gimel Tevos, he brings from Chazal, 33 words, 180 minus 33 is 147. That's why he lived to only 147 when his father lived to 180. We can't fault Yaakov for this. We can only learn from it. It's like when Miriam got Saras for saying Lashon Hara. We're not faulting. We're not indicting. We're not accusing. We're not condemning. We're learning. That's what Torah is here for. Remember, Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Weinow, he said, why do we have all the wrongdoings and the failings and the shortcomings of so many people in the Tanakh? First of all, is to notice that people sometimes make mistakes. The greatest of people on their level, and they're still the greatest of people. Sheva Yibol Tzadik V'Kam. But also, we're supposed to learn something from it. So we learn from Yaakov about complaining. I saw a really interesting medrash as a postscript to this. It's Yaakov Ruveni, quoted by the Me'am Loes. He says, when Yaakov came into Paro's house, now Paro again asked a strange question, boy, do you look old? And Yaakov gave the answer, and Hashem says, why don't you look back at your tzaros? Don't look at the tzaros. Don't focus on the difficulty. Focus on the growth process. You go through it, and it goes through you. And look who you are now. You're a different person. You're better. You're elevated. You're enhanced by your tzaros. When Yaakov came in, there's a Yaakov Ruveni, quoted by the Me'am Loes. He came to the house of Paro. There was a very interesting individual sitting there. I'll give you a hint. He's a giant. His name is Og. So Yaakov comes in, the Medrash says, and Og is sitting there, and Paro's there. So Paro says to Og, hey, Og, aren't you the guy who said to Avraham, the grandfather of Yaakov, that Avraham is like a barren mule who can't have any kids? Didn't you say that? Look at his family now. There's 70 people from that family. I thought he said he can't have any kids. Look at you. Laughs on you. By the way, the thing about 70, if you look in the Hamek Dover, the Nativ says that way more than 70 people came down to Mitzrayim. There were daughters. There were all kinds of other kids. Just the 70 that are mentioned in my name are the 70 most outstanding individuals. So there's tons of people here. We're dealing with hundreds, if not more, of descendants of someone whom Og said will never have anybody. No descendants. So at that moment, Og looked with an eye in Hara, apparently at Yaakov or his family, and the Ribbono Shalom said to Og, "Ata asid lehe'oreg he'horeg b'de'echad mibonav." Okay, you look with an eye in Hara. What you do is you don't feel that he deserves that, so you're going to be killed by one of his descendants. Moshe Rabbeinu ends up killing Og, Sichon and Og later on in Chumash, Parshas Chukas, in the end of Chukas. It's talked about also later in Chumash. But why did I mention this Yaakov Ruveni? We have to take note and appreciate what we have. If it's children or grandchildren, that's a bracha. If it's not children or grandchildren, it's our actions. Remember, Chazal say that the actions, the ma'asim tovim of a tzaddik, are like the person's children. We have growth, we have development, we have continuity, we have eternity coming from us. Stop and not complain. Look at what's here. We have potential. We have continuity. We have renewed hope. We're supposed to appreciate this. Not like an Og who looks at it with an eye in Hara. The one who looks at it with an eye in Hara, that's an Og. We're not supposed to look at things with an eye in Hara. We look with an eye in Tov. We say, oh, that's a great bracha. Thank you, Ribbono Shalom. It's here. It's in front of me. You think children are a coincidence? Every single one is a miracle. And what about our Maisim Tovim? If people didn't have children, they have Maisim Tovim, every opportunity to do an action. That's also a miracle. That's also an opportunity. So it's all the positive. And we're going to end with one more statement today, and that's about Paro wondering what's going on. When Paro said this to Yaakov, there's a Ksav Sofer on this. He says, how old are you? The Ksav Sofer says, I don't understand this. It's like Paro never saw an old man before. Of course he's seen old people before. So the Ksav Sofer explains, no, many times a person ages prematurely because a person has a hard time. He suffers, like happened with Yaakov. When a person lives a more tranquil life, often he won't age as quickly, says the Ksav Sofer. And he proves it from Psukim. Paro says to himself,
when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, and we've been suffering a famine. What is a famine defined as in Mitzrayim? That the Nile doesn't rise and fill the irrigation ditches and sustain the whole land. The Nile wasn't rising for the last 2 years. Paro says, Yaakov came to Mitzrayim. Now, he looks really, 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 really old. But when he walked up to the Nile and gave a bracha, when Yaakov gave a bracha to Paro, Yaakov looks very old, keep it in mind. When he gave a bracha to Paro, what happened is the Nile rose. That was a miracle, celebration for the whole populated, for the whole world at that time, because Mitzrayim is the imperial power and the whole civilized world depends on Egypt. The Nile rises, the famine is over. Yay! Absolute celebration. Now Paro says, who's the one who caused the absolute celebration? It's this really old-looking guy, seems to be a very holy person, perhaps. His name is Yaakov. The Nile rises. And the famine was over. The entire civilized, populated world is saved from a crisis, unspeakable, indescribable crisis that's been going on for 2 years. It's over! National world celebration! So Paro says to himself, who saved us? It's this elderly gentleman named Yaakov. He saved the whole world. It must be, if he can save the whole world, pretty logically, he must have been able to save himself from Tsaros. You hear the Kal Vachomer, it's called the Kal Vachomer, all the more so. Inference from a minor to a major premise, we call it in Gemara. In other words, it's a Kal Vachomer. If he just saved the whole world, and everybody has food now, nobody's going to die anymore, and nobody's going to suffer anymore, then all the more so, himself, he must be able to save from death and suffering and tragedy. So, in that case, if he looks old, it can't be because of Tsaros. Is this making sense? It can't be because of Tsaros that he looks old. He must have no Tsaros, because he just saved the whole world from Tsaros. So, it must be that he's unbelievably old, because it can't be because of hardships. If he saved the whole world from hardship and tragedy, then of course he must have had enough ability to save himself. So it must be that he's unbelievably old. How old are you? You must have a very tranquil life. You made tranquility here. You gave us relief here. You must have a totally tranquil life. If a tzaddik can give a bracha and save somebody else from illness, apparently he's never going to get sick, is he? So what did Yaakov tell him? No, I'm actually not that old. And I've had a very difficult life. I haven't even gotten as old as my forebears. But I have a lot of tzaras. Now the Ksav Sofer leaves us hanging here. The question is begging us, why is it that a tzaddik or a gadol can give brachos and heal people and perform miracles? And he himself suffers tragedies? This is part of Bitachon also. This is a point. This is a postscript type of point about this story. So we have to realize that there's a reason for this. And sometimes a tzaddik can help everybody else, but not himself. He can't save himself. Just an interesting point about Bitachon. Why? And the Chovos HaLevavos tells us in Shara Bitachon, it's one of the reasons for Tzadik Viralo, Makabo, this is the Pirush on the Chovos HaLevavos to make it simpler, Makabo Olav Hatzaros Lakapara Al Hador. Sometimes a Tzadik accepts the hardships of the generation upon himself. He's so unselfish. He's so willing to help everybody. He's willing to suffer rather than anybody else is going to suffer. Does that make sense? That's why it's not a mystery when some people suffer. And we're going to wrap it up today by capitalizing all of this. First of all, we saw that Hashem says, you've gone through tzaros. Now you're okay. And even during them, you're supposed to try to see beyond it. Try to be patient. Look, view yourself, envision yourself as you make it through and as you're growing during the experience. Don't emphasize and accentuate the negative. Only the positive. Hashem says to Yaakov, don't say your life was bad. Don't say that it was hard. Say that it's wonderful. It's all for his salvation. It's all for deliverance and for growth and for development, and for eternity. And sometimes when tzaddikim suffer, they're so willing to suffer, they're so altruistic, they'll take suffering for others. If you put everything together that we learned today, some of the suffering, according to this pshat, if you put the Ksav Sofer, Yaakov's suffering could be actually saving other people in the world from suffering. And that's also a noble thing. And Hashem says, you're capable of it. If you were capable of doing that, if you put the Ksav Sofer together, what we learned earlier, you were capable of it without having complaining about it either. So Mirtz Hashem, Hashem should help us that we were able, whatever we face, whatever comes our way, we should be able to navigate it and in a positive
mindset, and only praise Hashem for where we're here now. We're able to have new opportunities to grow and to get close to Him. Mirth Hashem, when we continue, we're going to talk a little bit more about Tzadik Baralo and related topics and other Yesodos of Bitachon and other Sfarim. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, you have a question.
Yes, so it seems like you're saying that the way to save ourselves is to be positive by thanking Hashem.
Right. One way, the question is, how do we save ourselves? To one way is to be positive by thanking Hashem. Like you've said before, some people, they say Hallel when they suffer Chatzim. They say Hallel. They thank Hashem. Is that what you're saying? In other words, that Hashem, when we look back at what happened with Yaakov, we see that what Hashem wants is that we look at the cup being not half full, not half empty, but half full. Look at the full part of it. Look at the full part. Look what we get. Thank you, Hashem. Odacha Hashem ki anafta bi. I thank you, Hashem, because you were angry at me. And Yashuv apachos nachameni. When your anger will come back and you'll comfort me, I feel euphoric now. Because if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I want to use the word relief. The sense of relief, there's nothing like the sense of relief. I have to tell you that. When a person comes through something, you can agree or disagree. Comes through something, I thought I couldn't make it through that. I'm through it now. I'm on the other side of it. I look back, sense of relief is indescribable. And thank you, Hashem. That's where it says, If I hadn't fallen, I wouldn't appreciate the ascent if I didn't have the descent first. So thank you, Hashem. You lifted me up, like it says in Mizmor Shir.
So should Yaakov, should he have
thanked
him? If we could have correct what seems to be a fault.
Okay, if we could correct what seems to be a fault for Yaakov, the way the Chazal look at it, in a critical eye. Mm-hmm.
So should he have said to Paro, I look worn out and old because I'm fighting for Hashem and I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to help
right.
Hashem.
Right. So you know what? If you put the Ksav Sofer together with what we just learned and the Chovos HaLevavos, if you could do it over again, if Yaakov is being criticized on a very, very high level and he should have been more positive, what could he have said, or what can I do if I would be in that similar situation? Instead of saying, Ma'at v'ra'im, I haven't lived so long, and it's been wretched, it's been miserable, I've gone through so much, and this, instead of doing that, start again, start from scratch. What I say is, oh, I look really old? Let's say he wants to explain himself. I'm really not that old? The Ribbono Shel Olam has helped me grow through many experiences? Which, I'm trying to figure out how to word this without complaining. We can't be complaining, correct? So what do I say? Maybe we can have that. So Hashem has put me through growing pains. When kids have pains and their legs are growing, it hurts. I've grown through challenges. You can see the way I look. You know why I look this way? I have had the opportunity to grow through challenges which Hashem has sent my way. And I celebrate my salvations, my deliverances. Is that beginning to sound like anything?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is that why there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch about thanking Hashem throughout the day?
Right, throughout the day we thank Hashem, and Kishem, we say Gamzu L'Tov, we say Kishem Shem Mivarach Al HaTov, Kach Mivarach Al Rav. It says that clearly in Maseches, in Brachos, we're supposed to say, we thank Hashem for the things that look like they're negative, but if we redo, we're supposed to take what's in Chumash and learn from it. So we say, okay, I grew through all this. I look old. I look like old age has overtaken me. I look prematurely aged. Oh, I've grown through all my challenges. I've gone through many challenges. If you put the Chovos HaLevavos here, I hope that other people have suffered less because I've had challenges and dilemmas that I have worked through, that Hashem helped me work through. Something like that, however it's going to work. And I'm grateful to Hashem for this. The Chovos HaLevavos says, Makabo Olav HaTzaros, the Kapar Al Dor. If you say to a parent, you say to a person, would you rather have, what if you had a choice? Would you rather suffer, or would you rather your, whatever, close relative suffer, Chas V'Shalom? It's a tough one. According to this, the tzaddik is capable of saying, I am able, I'd rather take the hit than the other person. And that's something that thanks that you gave me that opportunity. Maybe somebody was saved. I told you, I was once at someone made a Suda's Hodah because the person had been very, very sick, Chas V'Shalom. And when he got up and spoke, the person said, when I was sick, this person's life was in danger. It was a very, very challenging situation. He said, someone said to me,
I can't even imagine how many people were saved from terrorist attacks because of what you went through. We don't know what Hashem shows us after 120 years. The person was grateful that was said to him. Not everybody necessarily can digest that or handle that, but he was grateful because he said, that's a new way to reframe it. And that's what happens here also. If you put the Ksav Sofer and the Chovos HaLevavos together with the Das Nekenim, then Yaakov, that's one way, one avenue, one outlet for Yaakov. Yaakov could say, other people, whoever they were saved from Tzaras. My children are healthy because I suffered. Something like that.
So the fact that we're called Yehudim.
Right, we're called Yehudim. Right, Yehudim is that we're called. We're Moda. We thank Hashem. We also admit, we confess, we thank. It's all in the word to be Moda, right.
And Yehuda.
We're called Yehudim.
Saved.
Oh, yeah, Binyamin. That's true. Yehuda is the one who took responsibility. Yehuda was, he's the link in the chain. He's the hinge in the door to be able to see this whole process through, which is the beginning of Galus Mitzrayim and then ultimately the Gula from Mitzrayim, which was the Korah Barzal, that furnace, the kiln that we went through, when we were refined through Mitzrayim, it's all starting here. And Yaakov has to realize all this is setting the stage for that and the foundation for it.
So Yehuda, whose name is praising and Modem.
Right, Yehuda was Modem. That's right, definitely did by taking responsibility. And Master Shem will talk maybe more about that. And also about Tzadik V'Ralot and Rasha V'Tolo and the Shara B'Tochon. But I just read you the Tov HaLevon on Tepirush on the Chovos HaLevavos to help explain the Ksav Sofer about Yaakov suffering all that, even though he was able to save the whole world. But he still suffers for whatever reasons. Part of it could be he can help save the whole world through his suffering. That's exactly part of the formula. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But is the whole purpose of the suffering the praise?
So sometimes Hashem wants us to, I think so, I think that sometimes, I agree with you, that sometimes the purpose for the suffering is that when it's over, I would have not had that sense of relief if I hadn't had that pain before. Now, beforehand, if you ask me about it, I'm not interested in that. But a lot of times, Hashem doesn't ask us ahead. And whether he does or not, I'm supposed to look at it, I'm supposed to shift toward the positive thinking, and then I will look forward to that relief. And I'm allowed to ask for relief. And I'm allowed to anticipate that relief also. And that relief is a feeling of ecstasy. It's like euphoria, like I said before. And it could be, I'm on top of the world now because I felt that I appreciate now what I have. Okay, thank you so much for joining us. And have a wonderful week, everybody. Hatzlacha Rabbah.